Welcome to NTD News. I'm Tiffany Meyer. Here are today's top stories. President Donald Trump weighs in on Tuesday's impeachment announcement after a productive day at the UN General Assembly, accuses House Democrats of starting another witch hunt. The United Nations Human Rights Council hears testimony on forced organ removal of prisoners of conscience in China. Independent Tribunal urges international community to take action against communist regime to end the atrocities. The U.S. Treasury Department announced sanctions on maritime firms caught transporting oil from Venezuela to Cuba. Should make it harder for embattled Venezuelan leader Nicolas Maduro to supply Cuban allies. After four Emmy wins, Fleabag creator Phoebe Waller-Bridge signs multi-million dollar deal with Amazon Studios to make new shows exclusively on Amazon Prime Video. President Donald Trump is weighing in on the House's announcement on Tuesday that they've formally launched an impeachment inquiry, the president accusing House Democrats of pursuing another witch hunt.
Following House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's announcement Tuesday afternoon, Trump took to Twitter, writing that it had been an important day at the United Nations. He continued that the Democrats purposely had to ruin and demean it with more breaking news witch hunt garbage. Speaking to reporters after meeting with the House Democrats caucus, Pelosi announced that the House is moving forward with an official impeachment inquiry, alleging that Trump violated the Constitution.
The actions taken to date by the president have seriously violated the Constitution, especially when the president says, Article 2 says I can do whatever I want.
Calls by Democrats to impeach the president were stalled after former special counsel Robert Mueller was unable to back up claims of Russian collusion. But recent claims published in the Wall Street Journal that Trump allegedly pressed Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky during his July phone call to investigate former Vice President Joe Biden and his son Hunter Biden were seen by some as a new opportunity. Earlier in the day, Trump announced that he has authorized the release of a fully declassified and unredacted transcript of the phone call, which is now publicly available.
We have the strongest country in the world, the best economy we've ever had, and she's talking impeachment. So I think that, and by the way, she hasn't even seen the phone call. The phone call was perfect. The call that wasn't perfect and the words that weren't perfect were Joe Biden with respect to his son. And his son takes away millions of dollars out of Ukraine.
The Ukrainian government has denied the reports, and Ukrainian Foreign Minister Vadim Pritsdyko told Ukrainian media outlet Ramadsk that the conversation was long, friendly, and it touched on many questions.
On the sidelines of the General Assembly meeting yesterday, President Trump met with his British counterpart Boris Johnson. He also met with Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi. Trade was the focus of both of those meetings.
The leaders spoke about increasing trade between the U.S. and U.K., noting further negotiations have already been scheduled. Johnson also brought up the situation in Iran.
I guess we want to talk a bit about Iran and some of those difficult issues where I think we share a common perspective. Dial things down, but also make sure that people in the Gulf don't get the wrong idea about what they can get away with.
Following the Tuesday ruling by the UK Supreme Court that Johnson's decision to shut down Parliament in the run-up to Brexit was unlawful, reporters asked Trump about calls for Johnson to resign.
I'll tell you, I know him well. He's not going anywhere. Don't worry.
Trump also answered questions about withholding U.S. aid from Ukraine, saying he did so because he questioned why the U.S. was the only one paying.
Why is it always the United States?
He also attended another bilateral meeting with India's Prime Minister Narendra Modi.
The relationship has never been better, I say, than it is right now.
Trump said the two plan to discuss trade and the highly disputed Kashmir region.
The UN was told it must confront state-sponsored forced organ harvesting in China. An independent People's Tribunal has delivered its judgment to the United Nations Human Rights Council in Geneva, concluding that the Chinese communist regime is committing crimes against humanity. NTD's Holly Kellum has the story.
A lawyer for the UK-China Tribunal called on the UN body to investigate the ongoing atrocity in Geneva yesterday.
Cutting out the hearts and other organs from living, blameless, harmless, peaceable people constitutes one of the worst mass atrocities of this century.
Hamid Sabi said that after looking at all the evidence, it was clear the Chinese Communist Party had committed crimes against humanity. The crimes were mostly against practitioners of the meditation practice Falun Gong and, to a lesser extent, Uyghur Muslims in China.
Organ transplantation to save life is a scientific and social triumph, but killing the donor is criminal.
The tribunal found the crimes likely amounted to genocide. In either case, Sabi said UN member states have a duty to address the issue. The tribunal found that for years, the Chinese Communist Party has been taking organs from prisoners of conscience without their consent. It said it stopped using prisoners in 2015, but the tribunal found there was no other explanation for the short wait period for organ transplants. China doesn't have an effective organ donor system and says it doesn't pay donors for their organs. Holly Kellum, NTD News.
China and communism, two themes Trump highlighted in his speech at the UN General Assembly meeting, were echoed outside the UN building too. NTD's Penny Zhou spoke to protesters who have experienced the horrors of communism firsthand.
And that night my mother didn't come home. So I and my father knew that something was happening.
That was the second time Han Qingyang's mother was arrested by the Chinese police. The first time it happened, Yang was only 9 years old, and the arrest was right under his eyes.
About 7 or 8 police men came to the door and grabbed my mother all the way down to the ground floor and take her to the police office. And I was shocked by that and cried a little bit, actually.
He said that experience became the deepest memory of his childhood. Yang's mother was one of the estimated 70 million Falun Gong practitioners in mainland China who are still facing constant fear of detention and torture for standing by their spiritual belief. China's suppression on religious freedom was highlighted in Trump's speech on Monday. The persecution also targets Christians, Uyghur Muslims, and Tibetan Buddhists.
We were living in constant terror. We were never able to live like normal people. You don't know at what time they would come back again to persecute you.
Within half a year, they arrested 5 or 6 out of the 10 practitioners I know. The protesters say they hope the world leaders, especially America's, can stand up against the Communist Party's attack on faith and spirituality, because everyone has a stake in it.
I think it's not only about Falun Gong, because CCP is doing a lot of bad things in all over the world, actually. It's just the people here all around the world don't know anything about it.
U.S. Ambassador-at-Large for International Religious Freedom Sam Brownback also blasted China's wide-reaching suppression of religious freedom on September 23rd, calling it a war on faith. Penny Zhou, NTD News.
And while a new round of high-level trade talks is coming up between the U.S. and China, one U.S. senator warns Beijing is not good at keeping its promises.
President Donald Trump said at the United Nations General Assembly meeting Tuesday that he would not accept a bad deal in trade talks with China.
Our goal is simple. We want balanced trade that is both fair and reciprocal.
But that may be a challenge. According to Senator Dan Sullivan, the U.S. never launched a trade war. It's just that the Chinese Communist Party keeps violating its commitments. Sullivan gained high-level experience with Chinese senior officials when he served as Assistant Secretary of State in the Bush administration.
I have been in several meetings with senior Chinese. They're going to commit to this, commit to this, commit to this. They don't follow through on anything.
With just 2 weeks until the two sides meet again for trade negotiations, Senator Sullivan says that to get a good deal, the U.S. must find a way to make China fulfill its part of the deal.
So my view is a more reciprocal relationship, China keeping its promises that it makes and having an enforceable mechanism by which to enforce the commitments that have been made. Those are the recipes for a deal.
However, China expert Gordon Chang says no matter what kind of deal is reached, it won't last long.
I actually don't think, though, long term, the United States and China can have a enduring trade deal as long as the Communist Party is in power. Because what the United States would require is anathema to Xi Jinping and the party.
Reporting by Kitty Wong, NTD News.
The House Energy and Commerce Committee is holding a vaping hearing today. The acting commissioner of the FDA is among those scheduled to testify at the hearing. This comes as health officials continue to probe illnesses and deaths linked to vaping.
Don't vape them if you got them. That's the message from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
At this point, I think caution regarding all containing all products is recommended.
The CDC says there's been at least 9 vaping-related deaths in the U.S. in just over the last month. That's in addition to the more than 500 cases of lung problems linked to e-cigarettes, some of which illegally contained THC oil.
We currently have Minnesota children who are on mechanical ventilation due to this vaping injury.
This week, Minnesota police arrested a man after seizing nearly 80,000 illegal vaping cartridges with THC. The street value? Up to $3.8 million, according to police. Over in Los Angeles, protesters on both sides of the vaping issue making their voices heard.
The tobacco companies say that they're targeting adults, but they're using flavors that attract kids.
Once you stop how they're getting it, then it doesn't matter what flavor it is. There's still flavored alcohol out there. Why aren't we taking that off the shelf?
In a preliminary vote on Tuesday, the LA Board of Supervisors unanimously voted in favor of banning flavored e-cigs and tobacco products in the county. And Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker is calling for a statewide 4-month ban on the sale of vaping products.
The U.S. Treasury Department yesterday imposing sanctions on 4 maritime firms and vessels transporting Venezuelan oil to Cuba.
According to a statement released by the U.S. Treasury Department, the action targets Venezuela's oil sector and the mechanisms used to circumvent sanctions by transporting oil to illegitimate leader Nicolas Maduro's Cuban benefactors, who continue to prop up the regime. It added that the sanctioned entities will be denied access to the U.S. financial system and a freeze will be placed on any of their U.S. assets. Though oil trade between Venezuela and Cuba has not ceased amid sanctions, the flow of Venezuela's state-owned oil company PDVSA's oil has been insufficient to keep the communist-ruled island well supplied, leaving Cubans to face long lines at gas stations and for public transportation. The statement reiterated U.S. support for interim President Guaido, and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin confirmed the U.S. would continue taking action against Maduro.
Today, it doesn't matter whether you're more of a Marvel fan or a DC fan, because September 25th is National Comic Book Day. It's a day celebrating everything about comics, the art, artists, and the stories. According to the National Day calendar, comic books were first popularized here in the U.S. While most people might think superheroes and comics go hand in hand, the first popular comic books were actually collections of comics like the one seen in newspapers. Up next, as India faces drought, children go on dangerous daily journeys to steal water for their families and bring it back home. That and more after the break. After a months-long discussion with the White House, Apple says it's keeping production of its top-of-the-line computers right here in the U.S.
The tech giant announced that it will continue to manufacture its new Mac Pro in Austin, Texas. Apple has been making the Mac Pro in Texas since 2013. Reports over the summer claimed that Apple was looking at moving the product to China due to the U.S.-China trade war. The company needs components from China to make the Mac Pro. Those parts are more expensive because of the U.S. tariffs on Chinese goods. But the Trump administration granted Apple an exemption from tariffs over the weekend. In a statement, Apple CEO Tim Cook thanked the administration, saying the Mac Pro is Apple's most powerful computer ever and that Apple is proud to build it in Austin. The base model of a Mac Pro costs $6,000, and the high-end versions could run upward of $45,000.
And families in India are suffering back-to-back droughts, some forced to send their children in search of water every day.
In an Indian hamlet, 9-year-old Sakshi Garrett is losing her childhood to the daily trek to steal water. She has to travel over 8 miles to a neighbouring city, dodging police and irritable commuters to fill a pitcher for her family. Her mother is a daily wage labourer and has to work, but each perilous journey comes with an agonising wait, hoping her small daughter makes it home.
I feel scared every day I wait for the train to come and wonder whether my daughter is getting down from the train properly or not. What if her leg slips someday? And my mind is always occupied with these thoughts. I keep waiting for the train, and once I see it coming, I feel relieved.
Sakshi's family are among the poorest in their hamlet, called Mukundwadi, located in the western state of Maharashtra. India's monsoons have brought flooding to many areas. But this region has the opposite problem. Rainfall has been 14% below average this year, and Mukundwadi has suffered back-to-back droughts. Some rely on private and costly water supplies. But Sakshi's family can't afford it, and they aren't alone. According to UK charity WaterAid, around 163 million Indians don't have access to clean water near their home. Prime Minister Narendra Modi has promised a water pipe in every household by 2024. A long wait for those such as Sakshi, whose childhoods are slipping away.
Up next, China marks 70 years of communist rule on October 1st with a massive military parade in Beijing. Despite world criticism for human rights abuses and other controversies. More on that when we return. China marks 70 years of communist rule on October 1st with a massive forces parade in Beijing, despite months of unrest in Hong Kong, a painful U.S. trade war, and world criticism of human rights abuses against its people.
The military parade throughout Tiananmen Square next Tuesday will showcase the country's most advanced weaponry alongside 160 airplanes with China's leader Xi Jinping in the center. Security has been ramped up before the parade, including facial recognition scans, ID checks, and searches for those entering Beijing by car. All anniversaries in China are sensitive, especially in recent months, as the Chinese regime has come under greater scrutiny as a result of the Hong Kong pro-democracy protests. The leader of the umbrella movement, Joshua Wong, told U.S. lawmakers the movement is far from over.
As I speak, Hong Kong is standing at a critical juncture. The stakes have never been higher. We are confronted by the huge Chinese military buildup just across the border in Shenzhen. President Xi Jinping is unlikely to take hardline action before the upcoming National Day in October. But no one can be sure what's next.
Hong Kong returned to Chinese sovereignty in 1997 under a one-country-two-systems formula that guarantees freedom and voter liberties. But protesters claim those rights are being eroded, and they fear Beijing will resort to a heavy-handed intervention. The U.S. Congress is expected to debate and pass the Hong Kong Human Rights and Democracy Bill this week, which would empower the administration to impose sanctions on officials responsible for human rights abuses in Hong Kong. NTD News.
German tech firm TeamViewer pulled off Europe's biggest initial public offering of 2019 in Frankfurt today.
Shares opened at $28.88, which was also the final subscription price the company revealed late on Tuesday. CEO Oliver Steil rang the bell, celebrating with 300 employees at the Frankfurt Stock Exchange.
I'm very, very proud of what we achieved, and you should be extremely proud of what you have done. Being one of the biggest IPOs in the software industry, or the biggest one in Frankfurt Stock Exchange as TeamViewer, is just amazing.
And TeamViewer is a connectivity tool for online meetings, desktop sharing, video conferences, and IT support. The tool has been installed on 2 billion devices, with the company running a freemium model that allows cost-free access for personal users while enterprise customers pay a subscription fee. CFO Stefan Geiser said its short-term priority is to build its presence in the Asia-Pacific region and United States. TeamViewer estimates that its potential market, now worth about $11 billion, will triple in size by 2023. NTD News.
Up next, a small Italian painting found hanging in a kitchen in France is now worth millions of dollars. More on that when we return. A long-lost painting by a 13th-century Italian master found in an elderly French woman's kitchen is valued at up to $6.6 million. It will be auctioned next month.
The Christ-mocked painting by early Renaissance artist Cimabue was valued at between $4.4 million and $6.6 million by Paris Old Masters specialist Eric Turquin, and will be sold by an auction house in France next month.
This picture is part of a set of 8 pictures of the same size, all about the life of Christ. One of them, which is the Maest, it's a Madonna enthroned, which is the Mother of Christ, which is in the National Gallery in London, and one which is the Flagellation, which is in the Frick Collection in New York.
For years, the painting had hung close to a cooking plate in the kitchen of an elderly lady in Compiègne, north of Paris. It was found to be a Cimabue when an auction house specialist came to value her possessions. Turquin said there was no doubt about the authenticity of the painting, as it was in the style of the Italian master. The painting was executed in egg tempera.
So here is Christ, you know, with this kind of, I would say, almost majestic attitude of abandon. And around him is the crowd who is trying to arrest him. And they have arrested him, and they're putting the crown, with the stick, they're putting a crown of thorns on his head.
The auction house said the sale will be the first instance of a Cimabue painting coming to market and the first chance to value the artist's work. Born in Florence, Cimabue was a pioneering Italian primitive painter, of whom only about 10 known works have survived. He was one of the first to use perspective and paint in a more natural style that broke with medieval and Byzantine traditions.
Fresh off her 4 wins at the Emmys, Fleabag creator Phoebe Waller-Bridge has just signed a multi-million dollar deal with Amazon Studios.
The British actress signed the deal on Tuesday, agreeing to make new shows exclusively for Amazon Prime Video, according to Variety. The deal is reportedly worth more than $20 million per year and spans 3 years. Waller-Bridge is quoted by Variety as saying working with Amazon on Fleabag was the creative partnership dreams are made of. The new content will join her current show on the streaming service that reaches more than 200 countries and territories. The 34-year-old won Best Comedy Actress at the Emmy Awards earlier this week for her performance in Fleabag, as well as Best Comedy, Directing, and Writing for Comedy.
Thanks for watching. I'm Tiffany Meyer.